A bit of a slow start this morning. Yeah. Now going live with Jeff. All right, you'll have to excuse the silence for a moment as I put some water on the kettle. Water on the kettle? Yeah, something like that. Yesterday we talked about healing, and today I wanted to do a short different meditations about the process of healing and the how to define healing for oneself and how to go about healing. Not an easy task, as you could hear yesterday, if you were there yesterday. So take a moment, and today for a meditation, what would be important is also to have a way to write about what's happening. Could be a computer, could be a phone. And let's just take a moment. Let's prepare some tea and get a pen and pencil. Yeah, I did oversleep a little bit, and my dreams are quite something these days. I dreamt about my old library, like my public library when I was a young man, and in the basement there were these huge beds, but like beds that are so big, two of them, but so big that you could fit like 50 people on each of the bed, at least, something like that. And just strange exploration of my dream, very surrealist, like dream should be, but to a certain extreme. And dream will be a good doorway for exploring what needs to be healed, but there's more. I'll be right back. So, what needs to be healed, and how to heal, and how to use meditation or reflection in order to find about that? Life is really kind of playground of evolution, and it's a strange reality. The more I explore my reality by reflecting and observing and changing and evolving, the more I see that my own reality, my day-to-day life, it has some sort of a purpose. It has some sort of a goal. And it's similar to the evolution of life, you know, how life is evolving, you know, from bacteria to the monocellular, unicellular organism, and how it grew from there, and there this evolution of life that it seems like it's going somewhere. And it's really hard to make sense of that. Why is this evolution happening of life? Why is that complexification of the matter into life and then growing from there, and this continual evolution really feels like there's a goal in mind. It's going towards something. And for me, when I observe my own life, when I reflect of what's happening, there seems to be still a purpose. There's still to be a goal, a direction. And right now, the goal is to make tea. I'll be right back. I'm drinking this oolong tea from livelikewater.com. If you want to order awesome tea, please head to livelikewater.com. This is my advertising period of the show. The show is sponsored by livelikewater.com. The tea actually is kind of, sponsored. And if you want to buy awesome tea, head to livelikewater.com. I should put even some meta tag about this. Anyway, definitely if you're in Canada, he's in Montreal, but he would ship as well to the state, and I'm sure he won't put a tariff on the tea. So yeah, livelikewater.com if you want to help support me do this show. That'd be an awesome thing to do, to buy tea from Michael, a good friend of mine. So, the purpose of life. Yeah, there's not a purpose, I would say, but there is a current in my life, in what I have observed, and I cannot talk for everybody, but there's this feeling, this sensation, this observation that there is event happening in my life, and these thank you rat here, even in com, you have livelikewater.com. You can just click on there and go and check out the teas there. Awesome teas. Really good. They're seasonal tea, small batch directly from the farmer. My friend, he goes, to China and Korea and Taiwan and find better teas, better deal, and come back with awesome tea. And every season, he should be receiving a batch right now. Oh, yeah, they're going to have new tea. Anyway, very good. He learned me how to drink tea. And he's awesome. So, live like water. That's a good saying. Live like water, drink tea. But this idea, a little bit like the idea of the Tao, this flow that happens in one's life, seems to have a goal. A little bit like the a river that flows down the mountain, that goes to the lakes, and then that goes further down to the different oceans. There's a goal of water. I mean, it's not conscious, but water flows from the top of a mountain down to the ocean. And within my own life, there is that sensation, that understanding, that conversation even between my reflection, my conscious mind, and something else that my life, the events in my life are helping me getting somewhere, and it's not professionally or making a lot of money or things like that, although it could be, but it's generally toward my own evolution, my own healing. And if I'm aware and I can use this understanding for my own healing. So how do we go about that? Well, one thing is to take note. Writing about the dreams, it's a very basic foundational practice, because then you can also write about your days. So, what do you write about? Well, one thing that makes it easy to gather information about healing is emotions. Emotions are your flags, your breadcrumbs toward your own evolution. So, it's important to be aware of your emotion. So, I invite you to take a few deep breaths. Relaxing the mind, relaxing the body, relaxing the breath. I like to say that we're inviting the mind, the body, and the breath to get together. Like three old friends that I haven't met in a while. Friends have known each other for a lifetime, and they all get together. When you observe your breath, when you observe your body and your mind, these three parts of the self comes together. And I would invite you to bring to your mind the last time you had a strong emotion. It could be a positive emotion, could be a negative emotion. Just an emotion. As human, we classify positive, negative emotions, but yeah, it's all kind of a big mix of all these sensations. What are emotions? Well, if something gets triggered in you, laughter, sadness, and often emotion will be associated as well with the physical sensation. So you could be an emotion you lived today or yesterday in the last few weeks. Sometime we might be a little jaded, and it might take, you know, us a bit of time to be like, well, that was like many, many months ago, many moons ago. And that becomes a little harder to work with that, that there's more, the more proximity we have with the emotion, the better it will be to work with it. Now, becoming aware of your emotion and writing about them is one path into the healing. And it's a very important one. I mean, at one point or another, you'll have to work with emotions. And interestingly enough, if you talk to people about subjects like dreams, some people would say, well, I never dream. And then I work with people with emotions, And it could be very hard for some people to remember or to even think in this language of emotion. So take a moment too to think about emotions and how you feel about emotions. You know, where are they in your life, and how do you name them, and how do you interact with them? So like I said previously, emotions are these flags that will bring about some attention. And yesterday I was talking about, you know, healing and how some people don't even care about healing. Not that they don't care about it, but they don't. It's not part of their reality. Some people define healing as simply a physical process of, you know, a broken arm will heal into a non-broken arm. And leave it as that. There's no other type of healing. And while other people might go a little further and have, you know, mental healing. So mental illnesses like depression or burnout would be, you know, some of the illnesses you might get. And healing would be to get out of the depression or burnout. And that'd be about all the healing possible for people. And that's important to define what is healing for oneself, because it's a buzzword, and it might not resonate with a lot of people. How I define healing for me, it's anything that is limiting my life, that comes from myself, that I want to overcome, or I want to change, or I want to grow. So if I'm scared of the dark, very simple process, then there's some healing that could come from that. When I was a teenager, I worked in Montreal in a corner store, and I had the graveyard shift from midnight to 6 in the morning. And I got holed up a few times, knife, gun, a screwdriver, many things. That would happen around just after 3 when the bar would close in Montreal. And I developed this fear of the darkness when, like, right after 3. And the worst part is that the store had all this kind of glass wall. And I would see outside, and I would need to let them in, these people who ended up trying to steal the money from the store. And later on, I would wake up at 3 in the morning and look through the window and be scared. And I was freaking out. And I was like, what is that? And then I looked at this sensation, and I mean, it was very simple, but it was just a simple example. I looked at the sensation. I was like, what is that fear that is like waking me up? And then why am I looking through the window? And why is it at 3 in the morning? And it's like, oh, I have this PTSD from my work. I'm afraid to be, you know, holed up again. And so I rediscovered that by reflecting. Of course, I mean, it wasn't too hard to pinpoint what was happening, but I still had to figure it out. And then my action for that, one night I was at my dad's place. He lives like me, a little bit in the middle of nowhere. And the nights are really dark there. There's no city lights or anything like that. And one night, I woke up at 3 in the morning, super afraid of outside. And then, fully naked, I went outside. There's no neighbor. There's like forest. Everybody's asleep, super foresty. I went outside completely naked, you know, with that fear, like strong fear in me, and I went in the forest and I looked at the darkest spot I could find, and I went toward that and go further and further and further into this darkness and the fear that was overwhelming, you know, this. And then fear is, it's really cool when there's no object. Like if you're not in danger and there's fear, it's actually quite the buzz. Anyway, so I had that feeling of fear, like all my hair were like on top of there. Like it was just like this vibration. It's really a good feeling of being alive if you know there's no danger. It's like, yeah, going to amusement park and being afraid and knowing it's safe. Anyway. So I went to the darkest spot and I hid like behind, like under a tree, under a fern, like the darkest spot I could find. And then it kind of dissolved and I was like, I'm okay. And I went inside and then I stopped waking up at 3 in the morning being afraid. So for me, this was healing. This is like a very simple process, an event creating a trauma, and then there's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. So something is coming back from that trauma, and I reflected about it, and then I took action. And a bit like I was saying yesterday in the healing process, there's Jodorowsky, who's a movie director, invented this method of healing that's called psychomagic. I wasn't inspired by that. I was just kind of led by my own instinct to do the thing that would take me out of that. So there's an action that needs to be taken. You know, there's a reflection about an event, and then there's an action that's need to be taken for the healing to happen. So the emotion that we find, that these flags, you know, it's not often, it's not the trauma itself, it's just a recurring trauma. So let's say in the short meditation we did, you found out, you know, I was yesterday I got sad because of this. So then you write about this is what happened. And then you write about the people that were there. You write about what event created that emotion. Now, if it's, oh, I was alone and I felt sad and then I'm sad, it might be a little difficult to pinpoint where it's coming from, apart from knowing that loneliness might generate this. But if there are people involved and there are words being said that are involved in the triggering of the emotion, these are very important for noting. I'm gonna try my tea again because I just burnt my tea. It's a little better. High mountain tea are also quite fragile. The oolong, some of them can be very fragile and have to not be doing a radio show when you're brewing it, as you have to steep it for a certain amount of time, and if you miss that time, it's a little different. So, sitting with the emotion. Again, taking a few deep breaths. This can be done sitting, lying down, you know, at your place, or for me, at any time I have a downtime, you know, if I'm working, I could just take a second and breathe and observe that emotion that you've pinpointed and be with that emotion. Maybe it will bring tears back to the eyes. Maybe it'll bring a giggle. Maybe it'll bring a discomfort. Maybe it will bring fear, and it's okay. This is a very difficult aspect of healing, is to be
with what create these emotions and these discomfort. You have to hold the seeds of these events. So, the causes of these events, you have to hold that. At first, you don't know. At first, it might seem very big, but generally, they're small, like grains of rice. And then you can hold them in your hands. And in that process of holding these grains, these seeds in your hands, they will transform into sand and flow through your fingers and they will disappear. And part of the healing is also to let go of these grains of rice that transform into powder or sand. This process of kind of burning these seeds and letting them flow away is really the healing process, and it happens by holding them instead of planting them or consuming these seeds that would make you relive these emotions. So it's a bit metaphorical, this imagery that I'm using, but it's really something that I've felt in the last few weeks, where holding gently the emotion without letting the emotion or the seeds of the emotion, the cause of the emotion, to consume me, or me consuming these seeds so that I relive the sensation. I often speak about the seeds of karma that get planted in our chakras, and this is really a nice analogy, because we live and we have trauma that plant seed within our body, or physical or emotional energetic body, and in order to heal is to find out about these seeds and to pluck them out of our field and weeding them out of our life. But it's not about throwing them away or hiding from them, but really to hold them and this kind of waiting. Unfortunately, it's this kind of waiting that that can be long and that can be helped by actions like running in the woods naked, like I did previously for other type of seeds that were planted. But when you observe a sensation, an emotion that arose a few days ago, these are not the seeds. These are the effect of the seeds. And in order to find out about where are these coming from, I use my body. So if I go into an emotion that I lived not too long ago, and yeah, I cried quite a lot on Sunday. And I go back to this emotion. And of course, reobserving it makes me sad again, and that's okay. There's a bit of vibration there. It doesn't need to consume me, but of course it'll be vibrating at that sensation. It will smell sad a little bit. It will infuse my today's sensation. But then I observe the physical sensation of like this sadness, and then I try to connect it to other events that felt the same. When you're starting your process of healing, it might not make sense that the emotions are connected, that the same sensation is connected. On Sunday, I was by myself too, and it was more memories of my life that I had in the last 15 years that were coming up to the surface and creating that grieving, that sadness, that something was coming out. And that might not be the best example for healing purposes. I find that events that include other people, words and action, kind of help.
in a sense, like if somebody says something to me and that triggers an emotion, I find that's a little easier to find out what are the seeds of that. A very strong example, if somebody said you're not good enough, you know, for something, for me anyway, it's an easy path to be like, okay, so then who said previously I'm not good enough? And then, well, I tell that to myself a lot, but, you know, when I lost my job, when this happened, and then there's like these different event in my life, then not good enough, not good enough. And then slowly kind of uncovering where that come from. And of course, and unfortunately, or however you want to say it, a lot of these are during our childhood. And we get very influenceable as a kid, and therefore, sometimes just one sentence, one action, one event would create that sensation, that original sin, if you want to call it like that. I've liked to use that concept, but anyway, not very digested yet. But the first moment that something is said that creates this seed in ourself, and going back to the source of what created that sensation is another part of healing. So, again, coming back to the breath, sensation of the body, the mind being invited to hang out with the breath and the body for a little while. And we need to use the mind to recreate that emotion that was triggered a few days ago. The closer to the meditation, the better it is, because it's easier to remember the element around that. And the process is to relive that emotion a little bit, just a little bit, like a micro dose of emotion or a mini dose. You need to feel it a little bit. So you relive that emotion, and then you observe around what were the sensation, what were the event, the words that are being said, what were the interaction, and what was that feeling inside the body. The resonance, the body will vibrate in a certain way. Often it'll be, you know, in the stomach area, on the chest, the neck, sometimes the head. And it doesn't need to be super spiritual about it, but the chakras, if you know a little bit of these location, these are also the places where emotion will vibrate often. So at the bottom of the spine, the genitals, the stomach area, the solar plexus, the heart center, the throat, the forehead, and the top of the head. And interestingly, the emotions are kind of gathering around these points. For me, anyway, it's kind of a way that I use this chakra system that is hard for me to understand, but that emotion are felt within these location. So locating the place where the emotion is felt becomes very interesting, because then we can associate that sensation to different events. So in your meditation, through the breathing, relaxation, bringing back the event that happened, using our imagination to replay that scene, and then feeling into the body, where does that emotion lives? We are accumulating some details about emotions in order to find the root cause of the
emotion, the repeating emotion. It's like we had all these PTSD, like every trauma event create these PTSD somehow, and on a very light scale, I would say. But still, if we lived something in their youth and we got, you know, marked by it, it will come back again and then again and again and again. And really the healing process is to live and observe and see which of these sensations are blocking our way toward our evolution. And evolution is, it's a very wide catch phrase of anything that you want to become better at. So it doesn't, it's not about becoming superhuman and flying through the sky. Although if that's your goal, yeah, I'm all for it. But it could be better sleep, better creativity, better work. It could be anything. So anything that limits you to become what you want to become, these are the process of healing and not pushing away what limits, but holding it in your hands. So this is a process of holding the emotion. When you breathe in and relax and look at your past, look at the emotions that were generated and analyze that scene, bring back in your memory that scene. And it's not easy. If it's a gentle emotion, you know, it was a bit of anger, a bit of fear, a bit of sadness, it might be simple to start with. But if it's a strong emotion, then it becomes hard to go back to that. If it was a strong scene, you know, whatever brought back that emotion might be, again, traumatic. Bringing it back to the mind might be very difficult. So it's easy to start with the simpler, less dramatic emotion, and then start with that. Maybe it's anger. Anger, if I get angry, I find it maybe a little simpler for me to relive, although there's a bit of shame when I get angry. I'm very, I don't like it. But I can remember the sensation. I can remember the location and things like that. And it's less difficult than sadness maybe, or shame, or fear, the anger, because it seems to be coming from the inside. It's easier for me to work with emotions like that. So there's going to be emotions that are easier to work with because they might be a little less traumatic. And then you come back to your breath. The next step that I find very important is when you observe what created this emotion in your past, it's important to write about it or to be aware of this so that in the future, you can be like, oh, here's a location, here's a person, here's a situation that might trigger an emotion. And then you become aware of that. If you have somebody that always triggers some emotion when you see them, it's really, it's very useful. I used to work with somebody and I would always get angry or inadequate, what would be the word, with that person. Anytime I would be with that person, work with that person, I would feel inadequate. And it would make me angry, if, you know, kind of anger. It's important to not define the emotion too solidly. They all kind of, they're all kind of weird. Emotion are kind of slippery. And these flags that we put, like anger and things like that, it's really kind of just a moving target. Anyway, this person, anytime I would talk to her or work with her, I would feel inadequate. And then it would come to my head. I would feel like, you know, this, you know, little boy that is not good enough. And it would create some sort of anger or, you know, wanting to push back or get out of the situation, right? And, but it would always happen. And that would be the perfect practice for me to be aware of being, when I see this person, there's emotion. And I, you know, not putting too much flag around it so that I can explore it. So that made me aware. And it was really good to have that person in my life so that I couldn't go and see her and then take my time and being very observant of like, where am I getting triggered? And then I slowly realize that that person, I guess that's a little lame, but that person was, I think, angry at me. And that sensation I would feel inside of me wasn't completely mine. It was this kind of relationship. And there was strong emotion coming from her, and I would feel that. And by realizing that, it dissolved a lot of the breakage there and made me aware that I'm very sensitive to other people feeling. And I was like, oh, okay, it wasn't coming from me. Yet I was taking it in and making it mine and starting to feel bad. So that was a strange healing where it wasn't so much about finding out where it was coming from, but just the awareness of sensation around me. Later on, there were more to be discovered about that sensation because we vibrate to other people's emotion. When we have these emotion inside of us. So there's a big part of me that don't feel adequate in my life, you know, for different reasons, lack of schooling, many things I haven't done in my life where I don't have this pride. I don't know. I don't feel adequate in many situations. And for different reason. And if somebody else I interact with has that same feeling in them and project that inadequacy toward me, it will vibrate within me. So when I felt that from her and realized that it was coming from her to start with for whatever reason, it took me outside of my emotion and made me realize that by observing my surrounding, I could understand better how I react and how I can decide not to react. And then it became like, oh, when I work with her, there's this sensation that comes up and I don't need to own it because it's doesn't seem to start from me. I can research more about my own sensation, but for the better of this working relationship, I will not take it on. And then it changed completely our relationship. Interestingly enough, that person later on got told by other co-worker how you know, there was something really intense in our behavior and it was inadequate on the work. And I was like, oh, okay, that was a confirmation that, you know, what I was feeling was really coming from a person and not directly from me. So by observing your past, observing your emotion, observing your reaction, you create a strategy for future behavior. And it's not always going to be like, well, it's not me, it's the other person. If you have emotions that are coming to the surface, there's definitely a part of your work to be done. Of course, you can say this person is toxic. I don't want to work with that person anymore. Let's move on. Sometime that needs to happen. But there are also the best tool for you to learn about your own limitation and what gets triggered. It's part of who you are. So the healing process starts by flagging emotion that happened in the past. The closer, the better. And once you write about it, analyze it, feel the sensation, and observe where it might be coming from, then you can start notes of what creates these emotion, what words, what interaction, what type of situation creates these emotion. And right there, you have a tool for in the future if these situation happens again, because you've noted what you think would create that, then you can react differently. You don't need to go back into the emotion. But at first, you'll go back into the emotions. You know, it's a habit that you might have had for the last 20, 30, 40 years. So it's not going to go away very fast. But every time a situation happened, you might change a little bit the behavior or realize right after the emotion happened. That's like, yeah, it happens a lot at the beginning. A situation happened and you're like, oh, no, I reacted. And it's okay. There's no shame about that. And the purpose is not to not react. The purpose is to come in contact with the emotion, the trauma, and to hold it lightly and observe what it is and where it's coming from. And finding the root of the problem will take some time. This whole process is what I call healing. And it's looking at ourselves in the mirror without any judgment, but with full awareness of what's happening. By observing yourself in the mirror and truly feeling the emotion, truly observing them, holding them lightly in your hands, these seeds. And the more you research about how they are there in your body, the more these seeds will start to dissolve, they'll start to break apart. And an interesting thing that I've observed for myself, these seeds of trauma, when they start to fall apart, and I see them falling into sand. So these seeds become sands and even powder, and then they slip through my fingers. And for some reason, I want to hold on to them. I want to keep the trauma. And that's a natural response because they're a little bit like who you are. They've been with you for such a long time. These seeds, these emotions, these stories that build who you are, as they're falling away, there's this knee-jerk reaction. It's like, no, I want to hold on to them a little longer. And that's okay too. Sometimes we're not ready to let go of our trauma, and then you want to hold it a little closer, but that's, you know, the sure sign that the healing is happening and that it's not going to be long, that it's going to be gone. And it's almost sad sometimes to part with our old trauma because they've been part of our path for so long. And life is very colorful when we react strongly to all of these things around us. And I remember reading about somebody talking about enlightenment and how it's somewhat a little sad to reach enlightenment as the relationship with life and all that becomes less intense, less of a roller coaster, less of a, you know, fear, love, and lust, and all of that, and more of this detached from all of the past trauma. So I wouldn't say that you need to worry about that part. Don't be afraid to let go of the past trauma. At least, you know, the biggest one. I think we all have these strong event in our life that limits us in our possibility of greatness. And there's definitely a few big chunk that could be taken care of through a very gentle process of healing, how I described it today, this meditation and observation and taking notes and preparing for the future. But as you go, as you continue that process, there might be some of that karma, some of that trauma that, you know, it's our humanness too, that we are letting go part of who we are. And I feel when you become emotional about letting go part of yourself, it's really over kind of thing, as if you have an addiction and then you're like, oh, it was a nice addiction. I don't think a lot of people says that, but anyway, in that sense, you know, if you're the place where you're like, oh, it was a nice addiction, I wish, you know, I'd be addicted still to this thing or that thing, if it ever happens. But yeah, when you're at that place, it's really over. It's like, oh wow, okay. Or that fear that I had, or that sadness, or that feeling of not being a good person. When you're almost parting with it, and then you feel, oh okay, that was a nice ride. Hey, emotional body, that was a fun ride. Then you know that it's really over for that part. All right, so that was a short introduction to how to meditate on the emotions, the trauma, and how to grow from that. Yesterday's show was about the difficulty or how hard it is to heal and all the layers of healing. So feel free to reach into the archive. I'll probably have that posted on damaru.yoga, which is my yoga site. And you listen to DJ Damaru, I assume. That's my meditation name as well, DJ Damaru. Meditating with a DJ on Anon Radio every Wednesday, 1500 UTC. If I'm not dreaming, I will get out of bed and come and talk about meditation. Thanks again for listening. Overland is following up with some awesome, noisy, fun textures. Thanks.